Please be seated. Pleasure to be with you this evening. I'm in the middle of a big circle going from the Outer Banks to Richmond to Fayetteville this morning, here and then back to Georgia. We had a very good provincial synod. I think actually your parish for mission congregation was the best represented in the diocese. Kay and Alan and Bill all there, and me too. We had a very good synod. The church is on a roll, if I may use a slang term. We received a bishop from Connecticut last week, and a priest in their two parishes, and I think a number of other parishes will be following him soon. And so, in general, that all is good in the United States. We also established the second diocese in South Africa, which is very encouraging, receiving 10 clergy and 8 congregations in the Eastern Cape province there. So I think everybody left Synod feeling good and upbeat and optimistic.
And exhausted.
And exhausted. Well, I had an early nap that final day. Yes. I have to say, though, you know, Richmond is a town with a certain amount of self-conceit. I was taken to a very nice dinner at the Commonwealth Club, and a gentleman welcomed me to the Holy City. And I said, well, I thought the Holy City was Charleston. And he said, oh, no, it's Richmond.
So,
yeah, how about that? My text today is from the Gospel today, the first of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Beatitude comes from the Latin word beatus, which means blessed. The beati are the blessed ones, or the saints. So it's an appropriate lesson to have for All Saints' Day, November 1st, which of course is today. This is the obvious day, the obvious lesson for the day when we speak of the blessed. All of the Beatitudes begin with the word blessed. Then they name the group to be blessed and finally tell us, not finally, but next tell us why the people in that group are blessed, what is the characteristic that makes them blessed, and finally give us a reward, or we might say the blessing, spoken upon the blessed. Now, most of these rewards are future. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Two of them, however, are in the present tense, and the first is my text today, and we'll talk in a moment about why it's present, a present blessing, rather than the future blessings that everyone else are to receive. But first, this word blessed in English. Many modern translations translate the Beatitudes with happy, which I think is a very unhappy translation. Happy are you when men persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, which suggests to me martyrs skipping and whistling as they head off to the Colosseum to be eaten by the lions. That's unreal. It's not true. We're not happy when people speak all manner of evil against us. We're not happy at all. We may be blessed, but we're not happy. Happy, you see, has a subjective slant. It's about emotions. A newly baptized person is blessed. He may be the most depressed person in the world. He may not be happy at all. Things may be terrible in his life, and he might be responding appropriately, but not feeling very good about it. But he's blessed. You can be blessed by God without being happy. So this is one of many examples, I think, of our modern language not having a word that will do appropriate duty to translate the biblical word. Now, the biblical word, the Greek word, which is translated as blessed, is Makarios. Some of you are old enough, all of us actually are old enough, that we might remember that the president of Cyprus was Archbishop Makarios for many, many years. He was leader of the Greek community, and his name meant blessed one. Makarios is an adjective in pagan literature given to the Greek, the Olympian gods and goddesses. Those who dwell on Olympus were Makarioi, blessed, because they were immortal. They didn't age. They didn't sicken. They didn't die. So to be blessed is to share something with the divinity. And of course, for Christians, that means it is something we receive from God, because blessings from God are gifts. They're not something we earn. They're not something we deserve. They're not human achievements. They are free, undeserved gifts from God. It's a blessing. The happiness, the joy, the blessedness of the saints is blessing from God. All right? So much for that first word, blessed. The text in Matthew continues, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, the Beatitudes are the beginning of St. Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. Matthew has a Sermon on the Mount because he wants to show us that Jesus is the new Moses. And Moses gave the law from God on Mount Sinai. Our Lord teaches the new law, corrects and perfects the Jewish law on the Mount of the Sermon on the Mount. But Luke has similar passages, similar sayings in what is sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain. And he too, in Luke, we have Jesus speaking some beatitudes, where Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and Luke, he says, blessed are the poor, period. Right? Blessed are the poor, at first glance, seems harder, because most of us would rather be poor in spirit than poor. Well, Mae West once said, I've been poor and I've been rich, and rich is better. By the way, Mae West had this persona, but she was a churchwoman. You may not have known that. My predecessor, Brother John Charles, taught in the 50s at General Theological Seminary in New York. And he was once introduced to Miss West with a number of seminarians with him. And one of the young men was so excited at meeting Mae West that he invited her to dinner at the seminary. You could have a guest once a week at dinner at the seminary. So he invited Miss West, who said, Sonny, you can't be too careful about your reputation. So she didn't come to dinner. Now, was that protecting her reputation or his reputation? Who knows? Anyway, most of us would rather be poor in spirit rather than literal poverty. But the difference between the two is not really great. Neither Matthew nor Luke means that people are blessed simply because they're materially poor. Instead, I think what is being said is there's a quality that tends to go with poverty, which also tends to be related to a right attitude towards God. And this quality is lowliness of spirit, meekness, or humility, which my friend Father Irvin used to define as learning not to mind. Humility is learning not to mind. And then he would say, oh, but Father, I do mind. Just to say, it wasn't humble enough yet. In relation to God, poverty of spirit or humility means that we accept God's will. We accept his commandments. We open ourselves to God's purposes. A gentleman told me this morning that he grew up on a farm and his family, his parents, never allowed him to complain about the weather. It's important for farmers what the weather is. But you can't do anything about it. It comes from God, so accept it. So that is poverty of spirit. Poverty of spirit means we're righteous and upright in our lives, or try to be, because we humbly accept that that's what God wants of us. We don't answer back to God. All of that is poverty of spirit. Or call it, if you will, simplicity of soul. The soul is like a mirror. A good mirror isn't begrimed. It doesn't have dirt on it. It doesn't have fingerprints on it. Anything of that sort will make it not such a good mirror. But also, decoration can mess up a mirror. If you have lots of beveling and gold leaf and so on, the mirror isn't as good a mirror. And so poverty of spirit means we keep the mirror perfectly clean. Of course, we don't. We try to. But that's our goal, to try to keep the mirror clean, to divest ourselves so that God may fill us. All of that, poverty of spirit. The alternative to that is what the preacher calls the wandering of desire. And this, he says, is vanity and vexation of spirit. Human desire is infinite, and it roams all over the universe. And therefore, it can only be satisfied by an infinite object. That is, God alone can satisfy our desire. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And so to be poor in spirit means our desire doesn't wander up and down, but is fixed on God. So blessed are the poor in spirit. And what is their reward? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I've said usually the rewards are future. They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. But not so the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The other Beatitudes say, live patiently in the midst of this naughty world, and eventually there will be a blessing. But to be poor in spirit brings its own blessing here and now. And its blessing is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not perfectly present in our world. I trust that's obvious to all of us. But already it holds sway in the hearts of the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven means they're already in the kingdom, already are God's subjects. St. Paul in Colossians 1 says that the Father hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The we who have been translated already into the kingdom of the Father, into the kingdom of Christ by the Father, are the poor in spirit. The blessing is not a future promise. Rather, it is a present reality if we are poor in spirit. That is to be blessed here and now. The blessing is contained in the quality of poverty of spirit itself. And that, in turn, leads to all of the other Beatitudes. There are future rewards if we live now in the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are the heirs of all things, to all blessedness. They are God's chosen vessel in every generation. They are the great cloud of witnesses, which Hebrews says compasses us about. They are, in short, all saints, whose presence is a gladness to heaven, says St. Bede, whose prayers are a blessing to earth, whose victories are the crown of Holy Church, whose testimony is now to be honored. Their work is soon over, but the wage is paid forever. And when the night of this world is ended, the saints see the clearness of the essential light and receive a blessedness outweighing the pangs of any torment. The glorious living reality of the saints compasses us about with their examples and their intercessions in the invisible fellowship which we call the communion of saints. On this great feast of all saints, let us now praise famous men and our fathers that begat us in the faith. Let us praise them, all the saints who have gone before us, and let us follow their lives and invoke their prayers that we may come with them into the kingdom of God and to glory everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.